topic today will be the greatest prayer in the whole world, which is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, right? Yeah. Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Question is, what is the Mass? And the response is, the Mass is the Eucharist as sacrifice. Right next to the word sacrifice, write down the word Eucharist. And the meaning of Eucharist is, you know your Greek well, right? Thanksgiving, right? You're about to say that, I'm sure. So we should always be thankful to God, right? Eucharist means thanksgiving. Right, Cameron? Yeah. Okay, so we are ready for number two. Right? What is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is the offering of a victim. So what did the Jewish priests do in the Old Testament? They would take a lamb and they would offer that lamb as a victim to God the Father to forgive sins. That would just be a symbolic offering of forgiveness, because really a lamb can't save anyone. But as a symbol, Jesus would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? To God by a priest in our name, as a sign of our submission to Him and as an act of thanksgiving, of atonement. What does atonement mean? It means if you do something wrong, you have to try to tell God you're sorry. If you like, at one moment, you're at one with God, okay? Like that? Atonement at one moment. For our sins, and as a petition for graces, we say that the death of Jesus on the cross is a, what do you think? It's a sacrifice, okay? Because he offered himself up to God as a victim, an expiation should be not of, but for our sins. For this reason, in the sacrifice of the cross, Jesus is at one and the same time the priest. Father Broom. At the same time, the priest, the one who offers the sacrifice, and the victim, right? Namely, the one who is being offered. The sacrifice of the cross is the central and fundamental sacrifice of the whole Christian religion. It completes and surpasses all the sacrifices offered in the Old Testament before the coming of Christ. Sacrifices in the Old Testament. Do you know the son of Abraham, what his name was? You're a Bible scholar in disguise. What would his name be? Isaac. So his name was Isaac. Remember what happened? Abraham had his first child when he was 100 years old. How about that? Sarah was 80. So when Abraham's son was a little bit younger than you, 12 years old. God told him to climb to the top of Mount Moriah and put him on what was kind of like an altar. And God told Abraham, Cameron, to do what? To slay his own son, right? Any of you know that passage? Abraham was about to slay or kill his own son. What happened? Great! You know, Abraham, Abraham. And then there was actually a heifer, there was an animal who had his thorns caught in the thorn bushes, and God told him to offer up that sacrifice. So that's a symbol of God the Father and Jesus Christ. But the only difference is that God the Father did not spare Jesus Christ the Son. So Abraham is a symbol of God the Father, and Isaac is a symbol of God the Son. The difference is that Jesus was not spared, but Isaac was spared. And that's called a symbol, something that would represent itself in reality later on. Number three. Why do we have the sacrifice of the Mass when we already have the sacrifice of the cross? The Mass takes the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross present to us. Now, this is the most difficult thing to understand as Catholics. I'll try to explain it. Okay, right after this class, the other priests are gone, so I have to celebrate a bilingual Mass. You know what that is? Mass in Spanish and English. So I have to bring the two different cultures together. Now I'm going to be celebrating a Mass there in the new church. So when I take the bread, and I take the wine, and I say, take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is my blood. And I lift up the bread. They lift up the wine. What happens is, Jesus, who died on the cross, is present, but in an invisible way. You hear that, Max? Okay, you know, it's invisible. But he's really present. What is he doing? He's offering himself to God the Father, and he's basically offering himself to God the Father, begging forgiveness for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Very hard to understand because it's invisible. Are invisible things real? How about the air you breathe? Is it visible or invisible? How about your thought process? Is it visible or invisible? How about the feelings in your heart? Is it visible or invisible? How about the interior decisions you make within your soul? Are they invisible or invisible? So the invisible world is more real than the visible world, if you have faith, even if you don't have faith. Did you understand that? It's hard to understand. Yeah, but my point is this. When I lift up the host, you know, you're looking at what seemed to be bread. But it's not bread. It's the body of Christ. And there behind me in the church, you see a big cross, right? So you see the big cross, it really seems to be Jesus, but that's just a symbol of Jesus. So what's really happening is Jesus, in the moment that I'm lifting up the bread and wine, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, what happened in Calvary is happening in that very moment. He's saying, God the Father, have mercy on these confirmation kids. They're sinners. Have mercy on Father Broom, he's a sinner. Have mercy on Paul, he's a sinner. Have mercy on all the people in the world, they're sinners. Have mercy on them, Father. I want them to be saved. What do we have to do? We have to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. We have to beg Jesus for mercy. That we do as Catholics in the confession, right? You ever hear the confession? We got to go in the confession, tell God we're sorry, and our sins are going to be forgiven. So that when you receive the Holy Communion, the Mass, you're receiving Jesus into your heart. What is the easiest way for you guys to get to heaven? By receiving Holy Communion. You want to go to heaven, it's the easiest way. Easiest way to go to heaven, you go to Mass, you participate, you pray, try to understand it, go up there with your hands folded, the body of Christ, amen, go back to your place, talk to Jesus for a few minutes, you leave a new person. You hear that phrase, you become what, like you eat? You're transformed into what you eat. If you eat bad eating patterns, you're going to have problems. But if you eat the body and blood of Christ, then you're transformed into Christ. Paul, this is one of the most difficult things to explain. It has to be said 2 or 3 times. I hope all of you understand at least 10% of what I said. Because you're getting to heaven. Your getting to heaven depends upon understanding what I'm teaching you today. And you happen to have a priest as a teacher. They'll be thankful, right? I understand this more than lay people. No, lay people are great helpers, but a priest who's actually celebrating the Mass has experience. I'm experiencing what we're teaching you today because I'm a priest. I hope that some of you become priests one day. I hope. Okay? I hope. There surely is a shortage of them out there today. You know, I talked to my mother 2 days ago. And she says she has to travel about 35 miles to find a church where they're celebrating Mass. In December, and it's the middle of winter when it's 10 degrees below zero. This is New Hampshire. I mean, it's not California. Can you imagine an 86-year-old woman traveling there and back 75 miles when it's 10 degrees below zero to be able to go to Mass? No? Because in California, you got churches all over the place. Maybe you've heard of New Hampshire. You ever hear of New Hampshire? Never heard of it. It's one of the states, no? You don't have that many churches there. And my mother, like you, she lets you go to Mass. I mean, she can't live without Holy Communion. How about these kids? Can they go to daily Mass? Are there Masses here? Just one Mass a month here? How many Masses? 5 every day. How about that? Weekend, you got 8 on the weekend. So I really believe one of the biggest problems is that we as Catholics, we don't understand this topic. So if you really understood this topic, you guys would want to come to Mass every day when you can. To receive communion, not just once a month, but rather receive communion maybe at least twice a week. I mean, you can come on Friday, school's over. On Saturday, you're not working. You know, 15-hour day Saturday, you know. Sunday have to come. So coming and receiving communion Mass is by far the greatest, the easiest way for us to get to heaven. You have a comment?
How long does it take to get to Mass? How many hours does she have to leave before?
What's that?
How many hours does she have to leave, or minutes does she have to leave to get to
How many hours do you...
How long does it take for her to get there?
Oh, well, you know, if it's 35, 40 miles, it's going to probably take about an hour because it's not, they don't have the freeways like in New Hampshire. They have back roads. So basically, there and back, she's traveling 2 hours. Because in her parish, the priest is very sick. So the priest is so sick, there's no mass in her parish. And you got some parishes, from one parish to the next is 50 miles. It's like being in Mexico, living on the farm, okay? Maybe your parents come from Michoacán or Guadalajara or someplace, what's called, not in the city, but out there in the farm region, you simply don't have churches.
I think there's a bunch of churches here, but once you get to New England, there's not that many.
Good question. One of the reasons why is, you ever hear of Junipero do Serra? You've heard of Junipero do Serra? He was a missionary that came into California. He was a Franciscan, and he did missionary work from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco. You never heard of the missions of California? So yeah, the missions. So this was a missionary. He went from San Diego and went all the way San Diego. You ever hear of Juan Capistrano? Capistrano, then L.A., from L.A., San Francisco, Santa Clara. He established all these missions and he set up churches. And as a result of that, a lot of people in California became Catholics. Now, is this country, you people, you know, you're living here in Southern California. You, as my dad would call you, a local yokel. Okay? Okay? In other words, if you go outside of California, other parts of the country, you basically have Protestants. Like if you go to Mississippi, Missouri, Alabama, those states, that's called the Southern Belt, where most are Protestants. Now if you go to New Hampshire, apart from the southern part, almost all the people there in New Hampshire, except the southern part, they're Protestants. Protestant means that they're not Catholics. Almost all of them are blonde, blue-eyed, like the Germans, okay? And most of them are not Catholics. Whereas here, you have what? You have a lot of Filipinos, but even more Mexicans. What are Filipinos? Most are all Catholics. What about the Mexicans?
Catholics.
All Catholics. So given that a lot of immigrants here are Catholics, that's why you have so many churches that are established here. But that part of the country, you're basically Protestant, you simply don't have many Catholics. Because the immigration there, in that state, that's the lowest rate of immigration in all countries, New Hampshire. Very few immigrants go there. So, be thankful that you have the Mass here. Be thankful. But make sure that you're aware of when the Mass is celebrated, there Jesus is present there, invisible, but really present. He's there on the cross. He's offering himself to God the Father, saying, God the Father, have mercy on the people that I love, that they're sinners. Have mercy. Help them to beg for mercy. Help them to say, I'm sorry for my sins. And if you say you're sorry for your sins, you're going to be forgiven. But if you don't ask for forgiveness, you're not going to be forgiven. You're not going to be forgiven, you're not going to be saved. I was talking to Father Larry a couple hours ago, and he was saying, if you look at our church, there's a huge palm tree there. Do you ever notice a huge palm tree that's on the two sides? And those palm branches, the palm tree is almost touching our house. What would happen if those palm branches caught on fire? What happened to our house? Catching fire. What happened to me? I'd be burnt alive, right? What happened to our chapel? It'd be burnt down. So he's calling the police, he's calling the city of Juan guards to try to see what they can do. Obviously what I would do is I would cut down the tree, but the tree doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the city. So he's trying to talk with the city, trying to talk to the police, because that catches on fire, our house could go up in fire, and you're not going to have any priests left. That could happen. No, he didn't. What happened? A cholo came at night and he lit it on fire because that's really, it's really dry. Don't tell the cholos, okay? Well, that could happen, no? But he made this point. We're doing all we possibly can to save our house from going on fire. What about our confirmation students? What are we doing to try to help you guys to keep away from sin? Because if you die in sin, then you'll go to hell. That's even worse, right? Right? If you die in mortal sin, then you go to hell for all eternity. That was the analogy that he used. Pretty good. Pretty good connection. What do you think, Paul? Yeah? What do we do?
Well,
yeah, I mean, that fire would just burn down our house. But what about if you died in mortal sin, you have to go to hell for all eternity? That'd be worse, right? How'd you like to be in hell, and there you are, and you got three devils with, each one has a metal pole that's on fire and they're, you know, puncturing holes through you. How would you like that? Another one drags you into the pit of fire and they're dragging the fire and you can't get out of it. But then you're underneath the fire and you can't even breathe. So we should do all we can to try to keep away from sin. Everything. Keep away from sin. I can tell them how to get to heaven, but I don't know if they're going to obey me. Every month, a really good confession. Every week, a really good communion. Every day, a fervent rosary. Amen? So every day, you know, you try to pray your rosary. Every Sunday you go to Mass and you receive communion. At least once a month you try to make a good confession. You do that, okay, you do that now, but you do that the rest of your life, you guys are going to make it. But if you decide later on, oh, I'm already confirmed, maybe I'll go to Mass, and maybe I'll go to confession, yeah, maybe once a year, right before lesson eases, you know, make a mediocre confession. Right before I get the ashes. Maybe I'll go to Mass. Maybe once a month. And I'll just be a caliente banca. That is caliente banca?
Benjamin.
What's that? What's a caliente banca?
Benjamin.
I just sit there and look at the choir and criticize the choir and just yawn during the priest's homily. And during the collection, I'll have to go to the bathroom, have a bladder attack. Huh? And I'll leave before the final blessing so I can get out of the parking lot quickly. Huh? And go to Domino's Pizza, get a good pizza, then check out the angels playing. Huh? The rosary, no, I just pray it when my grandmother dies. Cuando muere mi abuelita, no más. Well, you know, keep smoking marijuana. Pornography every other day. Yeah, you know. I go to Pechanga to get drunk every other weekend. I go to the casino. Yeah, spend $300. No? And I'm a Catholic. I graduate from Father Broom's class. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. I have to get to heaven. It's not easy as you think. You've got to live out your faith, huh? Jesus says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but rather all those who do the will of my heavenly Father. Right, Paul?
Yeah.
Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, I was in your presence. I saw you do miracles. I was in church on Sunday. I listen to the choir sing. I listen to Father Broom preaching. Oh, here I am, Lord. Out of my presence. You didn't do my will. Bye. by for all eternity. You know, Paul, I think one of the biggest problems in Catholicism is apathy, indifference, mediocrity. What the Bible says about that, you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. Revelation chapter 3. Strong words, huh? Neither hot nor cold, nor lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's a big problem, Paul, right? Indifference. Well, I think I'll go to my confirmation class. I'll just sit there. You can go to Mass on Sunday. Wake me up, Mom, after it's over. All the people going up and receiving communion. Caliente banca. No, you gotta love your faith. You gotta love your faith. You gotta be on fire. Happen if that's the way they lived as angels or Dodgers. They sent down to minor leagues overnight. Right, Cameron? Yeah. Okay, so you're finished? Almost? Okay, let's move on. You got it done already, huh? Well, you're going to have to put up with us. We're going to do it anyway, okay? So we are number what? Number four? Is the Mass important?
Yes.
Kind of, or really?
Really.
Okay. So it's a matter of life and death, right?
Yes.
The Mass applies to us the fruits of Jesus' death on the cross, which merited eternal salvation for us. The Mass is offered as a sacrifice in reparation for the sins of the living and the dead. And in order to obtain for us both spiritual and temporal gifts from God. Thus, the Mass is not only important, it is central to our faith. Because it gives us the Eucharist, the source and summit of the whole life of the Church. You know what the summit is, Cameron? The high point. The peak. The zenith. The apex, if you want to use some college words, okay? The high point of our Catholic faith is the Mass. Who is the principal celebrant of the Mass? Jesus is the principal celebrant of the Mass. He is the principal celebrant of the Mass. How is the Mass related to the resurrection? By the way, what is the resurrection? Do you remember what the resurrection is? Nope.
Coming back from the dead.
Okay, who did that?
Jesus.
Okay, so he rose from the dead. That's what the resurrection is, right? So the Mass celebrates the Paschal mystery, okay, got that? Of Christ, that is, His work of redemption, which was accomplished principally by His passion, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. So say in the Mass, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free, you are the Savior of the world. We also say we profess your resurrection, the resurrection is a part of this Paschal mystery. Number 7. Without the resurrection, would we have the Mass?
No.
If Jesus had not risen, he could not celebrate the Mass. We say that it is really he. This is proclaiming the words of the faithful after the consecration. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Now, here's another miracle for you. How old are you now? So is Cameron sitting in class, 14 years old, May 17th, 2017, Wine Gardens, in the classroom of Wine Gardens. Pretty specific, huh? That's a historical fact, right? All right. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive Jesus, right?
Yes.
Jesus as a baby?
No.
Jesus as a 13-year-old?
No.
Jesus as a 14-year-old?
No.
Jesus as a 30-year-old man?
No.
Jesus on the cross?
No.
Jesus risen from the dead? Okay, all those are yes, 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 yes. That's an incredible miracle. You receive Jesus' Holy Communion, you receive him as a little baby, but also as a teenager, but also on the cross, but also Jesus risen from the dead. That's another, Paul, incredible miracle, isn't it? Because you're here right now, 14 years old, 2017. That's a historical you. That's the historical you right now. Whereas every host, you got the whole presence of Jesus Christ from when he was a little baby or in the womb of Mary until he rose from the dead. And you can talk to him in your heart in any way you want. Talk to him as a teenager. Talk to him as a child. Talk to him as a young carpenter. Talk to him as he walked on the waters. Talk to him as he hung on the cross. Talk to him as he rose from the dead. Talk to him as he's about to ascend into heaven, as we're going to celebrate this Sunday, the ascension. Talk to him as he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Amen? There's another miracle for you. Because you can only be present historically in time and space and presence according to right now. But God being God can be present in all those different historical, chronological stages in every Holy Communion. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible if you really think about it. Do you understand that? Good. So one day you're going to be a theologian, huh? Number 8. Jesus is the true celebrant of the Mass. Is the celebrating priest still important? In one sense, no, because it makes no difference whether the priest is holy or not, because Jesus will still be the main celebrant. Okay? But in another sense, he is very important because there must be a priest to celebrate Mass. In fact, Jesus entrusted and gave the power to consecrate, that is, to celebrate Mass, only the priests who have received holy orders. Number 9. So it is important for us to have priests?
Yes.
Yes. Not only important, it is indispensable. If there were no priests, the Eucharist would no longer exist. This is why we pray for vocations. Not vacations, vocations to the priesthood. I think, Paul, in this room, there's probably at least one or maybe two that are called to become priests here. Maybe more. Say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, if God calls you, say yes.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes.
I mean, it's a great life. I mean, you got to work at it. You have to really try to become a good priest. It's hard today. But if you become a priest, you can do a lot of good. Do a lot of good. You can preach, you can teach, you can confess, you can maybe go on the radio if you've got radio gifts, you can write books. If you're bilingual, most of you guys can speak Spanish and English, you can hit the Hispanic population, hit the English-speaking population. L.A. is the place to be. L.A. is the biggest diocese in the country. Millions of souls here. Millions and millions and millions. And the harvest is rich. The laborers are few. I really think there's maybe a few called to become priests. And you're ducking your head. No, that's not me. The fact that you're ducking your head, there's probably even more that God is maybe calling you. Now don't run away from the call. What do you think, Paul? It's a good class. It's a very good class. These kids got good parents that love them a lot, prayed a lot for them, and good abuelitos also praying for them. I could really put them in danger. I'll get my mom to pray you. Oh, now you're in danger. My mom's prayers are really powerful. Be careful now. Your mom, in that class on Wednesday, I got 25 boys. They're really good. I think probably five of them are called to become priests. Mom, could you pray for them? I will. The day you're ordained, then she'll be probably 95 years old. They were their cane. I pray for you, huh? That's where they come from, often from holy people that suffer and offer their sufferings for the young people. The camera, I was thinking. I think of doing three things in my life. I think about becoming a baseball player. We have that in common, right? I think about becoming a writer. I just published my second book, Paul. And I think about becoming a priest. So, I played baseball all the way into the university. I didn't make it to become a Yankee. I wanted to become a Yankee, but at least I made it to the university. I've already published my second book, and I'm a priest. So maybe you guys can play baseball at least in high school, and maybe write a book. Maybe it's going to be a short one, but you write a book, and you become a priest. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, we have to pray for these guys, and maybe that'll become.
Can I see you signing a baseball at your anniversary?
You know, I was thinking, Cameron, if I were a baseball player, I would already be retired for more than 20 years. When did they retire? You see Derek Jeter the other day? No? 40! No, I don't know. Maybe a pitcher. No, basketball, football players retire at 30 because that's a tough. Golfers, they can go into all the way into 50, no? Baseball players, usually about 40, they retire. I'd already be retired more than 20 years. I'm already into my early 60s, so how about that, no? So instead of signing baseballs, I'm signing books, right? That's better, right? So I think in here we probably have a couple of vocations, yeah? Some might be walking away from it. Let's see, he's walking away, no? What number are we on? When the priest celebrates Mass, are we just spectators?
No.
Like watching a Dodger game, right? Losing to the Giants, huh? No, we are also participants. It is true that only the priest can consecrate, as you already saw. Nonetheless, the faithful participating in Mass join him in... Go ahead. Offering the sacrifice. That is, they join him in offering the body and blood of Jesus to the Father. In fact, if we pay attention, we'll notice that the priest speaks in plural. We offer you his body and blood, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you, and so on. The priestly service we are talking about is not consecrating bread and wine, which is reserved only to priests who have received holy orders. But it's offering of the already consecrated body and blood of Jesus. Does the priestly service of the faithful consist only in the offering of the body and blood of Jesus to the Father?
No.
We are all invited to offer ourselves together with the body and blood of Jesus. We must not only be priests, but also... What's that? What does that mean? Did your mom or dad ever say to you, offer it up? Any of your mom or dad ever say, just offer it up?
Yeah.
You got a suffering or something, offer it up. So offer up your sufferings. Offer up your problems. Offer up your pains. Offer up your headaches. Offer up your toothaches. Offer up your stomach aches. Offer up problems you have with that kid in your math class. Okay, offer it up. Okay. How did you know? Okay. What elements does the Mass always include? The Mass, which is one single act of worship, always includes these four elements. The proclamation of the Word of God. How many readings in the Sunday Mass?
One.
Three.
Okay, so you have the first one, the responsorial psalm, second, and then you have the gospel. So you got three readings, right? Okay. Never paid attention to that, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I did pay attention, but I don't think
you didn't know the division, though, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, pay attention. There's the first two readings, you're sitting down. The gospel, you stand up. Why do you stand up for the gospel? So you don't fall asleep during it, right? It shouldn't be that, no? Stand up for the gospel because the gospel is the most important part of the reading. As it is actually Jesus is speaking to you directly. The Old Testament, God speaks to us, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is speaking to you directly. How many gospels are there?
One?
Four. How many gospels altogether?
Four.
They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four gospels. Didn't know that? Now you know it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think I know one of your favorite chapters. Your favorite chapters. Mark 17, right? No, there's only 16 chapters in Mark, okay? So it's not gonna be your favorite, right? Okay. Well, let's go. What elements does the Mass always include? Okay, the proclamation of the Word, the offering of thanksgiving to the Father for all His gifts to us, especially the gift of His Son. Next, the
consecration.
What's that? It's when the bread and wine are turned to the body and blood of Christ, right? And then finally, the what? The reception of Jesus' body and blood in Holy Communion, which is our participation in the liturgical banquet. What do you do before we receive Holy Communion? How do you hold your hands? In your pockets? And what do you do before we receive Holy Communion? You should make a sign of reverence. No? I think the best way I like is when you make a reverential bow like this. Some people make a genuflection, that's okay, but sometimes if someone's behind, that person could trip. No? But a reverential bow. When the priest says, the body of Christ, what do you say?
Amen.
Amen. What does amen mean? Means I believe. It's an act of faith. I believe. Do you know what the language of Jesus Christ was? What language he spoke in? Was he spoken Spanish? Italian? Nope.
Hebrew.
Hebrew or Aramaic. Three times in the Mass we actually use some Aramaic. Do you know those three times? Amen. Alleluia. And Hosanna. So Hosanna, Alleluia, Amen are three words that come from the language of Jesus. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe. Alleluia. Praise be God. Hosanna. Bravo. Number 13. What is the principal day for the celebration of the Eucharist?
Sunday.
The Lord's Day is the principal day for the celebration of the Eucharist because it is the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. Sunday is the foundation and kernel of the whole liturgical year. Catholics are obliged to attend Mass on all Sundays or Saturday evenings and in holy days of obligation. You know, about 10 years ago, I was in Jerusalem. Did you know that? I didn't think so, but I'll tell you. I was in Jerusalem on pilgrimage about 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
Yeah. And it's very interesting because on Friday is the day that the Muslims celebrate their principal feast day. And they chant. On Saturday, it was the Jewish people. And on Sunday, it was the Catholics. So right there in the city of Jerusalem, there's a lot of Muslims, a lot of Jews, but there's a lot of Catholics also in Jerusalem. So I thought it very interesting. And the reason why we celebrate our Eucharistic celebration on Sunday is because that day, we just read it, what happened? Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. So that's the reason why we celebrate. You come to Mass on Sunday to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Okay, a little bit of language. How do you say Sunday in Spanish?
Domingo.
How do you say it in Italian? Domenica. How do you say it in French? Dimanche. Something like Domenica. It's close to Domenica. Yeah. Okay, so in French, dimanche. In Italian, Domenica. In Spanish, Domingo. Okay, you are a polyglot. You know a lot of languages. How do you say it in German? Go ahead. You know, you're a German scholar. How do you say it in German? Can I tell you? Sonntag. With the umlaut. Okay, how do you say it in English?
Sunday.
Do you know what tag means in German?
Day.
So in German and English, it's the same. It's the day of the sun. So German and English is the same. Whereas French, Italian, and Spanish, Domingo, Domenica, Dimanche, it's the day of the Lord. So that's the Latin language. The day that the Lord rose from the dead. So we hope, Paul, that they will have that all you guys have a great love for Mass. Mass is the greatest prayer in the whole world. And every time priest is raising up the host. Jesus is behind us, present. There on the cross, offering himself up to God for the salvation of your soul. So be thankful that you're Catholics. And even after you finish confirmation, don't change religions. Don't become a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or a born-again Christian. Stay in the Catholic Church. But try to really live out your faith. And don't be a Catholic that's just asleep, but rather live out your Catholic faith and really love your Catholic faith. Live it. Love your Catholic faith. And when you die, then you're going to be able to go to heaven. Because your getting to heaven depends upon this topic today. Yeah, okay. Let's say a closing Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Okay, just sit down.